Shut up, Happy. Don't feel bad about me. I got my hand back, see? We've only just begun to live. White lace and promises, a kiss for luck and we're on our way.
It's been over a month. It's been almost a month since we've recorded, which is it's weird and I don't like it. Not recording.
Well, you shouldn't have had a bad computer.
That's my fault. Yeah. My bad computer went on the fritz.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so bad computer need a spanking.
I need to spank my bad computer. That's not a euphemism for anything.
Oh, just hit the computer.
Get down with your bad computer. Welcome back.
That's a Prince song.
Yep. Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. It's so good to be back behind the mics. Mm-hmm. There's a few different reasons as to why this is a special episode and why it's so good, and it's nice, and it's almost befitting that it's been almost a month since about a month since we recorded and almost a month since we released an episode, mm-hmm. and our first episode back after getting our computer problems fixed, mm-hmm. these technical difficulties that have been in the way. It's befitting that we are doing it where we're doing it with whom we're doing it.
Yes.
And we'll get to him here in just a moment. And for those of you that saw the title, I don't know what I named it, but you know who it is.
Yeah.
But it's just, thank you. Thank you all for joining us, though. All the way back at the beginning of January, we had two episodes. Mm-hmm. We were ready to just to come out of the gate swinging.
Yep.
And I ended up having a computer issue that the latest update of GarageBand rendered my 2017 MacBook Air, which has edited almost 300 podcast mm-hmm. episodes.
Yeah.
It has rendered it obsolete.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at least with GarageBand, everything else on there works.
Mm. Yep.
But
which I am benefiting from.
So Matt has it. So mm-hmm. I bit the bullet, bought a new machine. The biggest reason was so we get back to doing, like, truly and honestly, the biggest reason I bought a new machine is because we will not let this podcast or this show or this creative outlet, we will not let it just fall to the wayside because we don't have
that was a priority
equipment.
That was a priority.
Was the biggest priority. Yeah. And for those of you listening now, if you're here for our esteemed guest, thank you. If you're here for
our big steaming guest.
Our big steaming guest.
Big steamy boy.
Who lets off big steamers.
It's true.
Just let one off just a moment
ago. Big steamy farts.
Probably have another one for the episode later, too.
I can't wait to hear detail about your big steamy bowel movements. Because I know you'll share them with us. Mm-hmm. So those of you
we'll put them up on the Instagram. We'll take pictures.
Yeah. So those of you here for him and any of his other 9 appearances as a guest on any of our shows, thank you for joining us, because mm-hmm. that's one thing we'll mention. Thank you for listening to this beautiful gentleman. But for those of you who listen to all of our shows, almost all of our episodes, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your patience.
Yeah, thank you. And if we're... It's early in 2024, and we had every intention of making this a good year. And it just had a little bit of a hiccup.
It will be a good year.
It will be a good year. We have probably won't be our first hiccup of the year, or probably won't be our last hiccup, but we have all the best intentions. It's going to be a good year.
Exactly. Yeah. We will just like hopefully all of you, whenever you face a roadblock, you will roll with the punches, and you will try and resolve it the best you can. And hopefully we will all be stronger for it. Mm-hmm. But we are also tackling, back on the show, we are tackling our new favorite episode type, the six mix. And we're excited. We'll get to him here right now.
Yeah. If you hear some dogs in the background, he's tending to them now.
Yes.
We are recording Indicator.
Indicator, yes.
With our guest. And so if you hear a couple doggies in the background...
Mm-hmm.
It's because they have doggies.
They're beautiful dogs, but they are rambunctious.
Very rambunctious.
They are too loud.
Too loud.
Silly geese. Swimming in a pond.
Yes. You've already heard him a couple times already. Back on the show, for the first time since we talked about WrestleMania 39.
Last April. Yeah.
Making his 10th podcast appearance as a guest.
So between... If this is your first time, mm-hmm. we've got our 5-timers club mm-hmm. for the Radcast, but we also have between our podcast, this and our other podcast, Sucktastic Cinema, that we used to do. We like to we like to conjoin the guest appearances, and so we got plenty of 10-time guests just between the two podcasts. And go ahead.
This yes, pretty much this gentleman is joining it. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we don't have a trophy for him yet, but we will. Same thing with Jake Vielewald. I know you're listening right now and on our conversation through the walls.
Yes.
He's got a cup on
Jake
the wall.
Jake Vielewald.
Jake! Jake, come on!
Get your ass over here!
Yeah!
But, you know, you will have a trophy coming to you soon. Very soon, sir.
Thank you.
Jeff Wright is back. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff. Me. Hello.
He's dressed like Rocky Balboa.
I am.
In the meat locker.
Yes.
Just punching on pounds of meat.
Yes.
I used to work in a meat locker.
Exactly.
This makes sense.
This is your attire, yes, for the meat locker?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There's so much swarming through my head as to why this is a special recording session. Of course, we talked about how it's been a month,
yeah,
and that's special, having Jeff on to christen this new laptop to help us, you know, get the show going again.
Yeah. I already christened it last night.
Yes, yes, I saw you.
That's
yes.
What that stain was.
but Jeff is here, and it's great. I'm so happy Jeff was the first guest we had back, you know, with this new equipment,
yeah,
and, you know, back with the show. But we're also here this weekend because we're here to help celebrate you on a special event in your life.
Yeah, I'm getting ordained tomorrow.
As a minister.
As a minister. Nice. So that goes to show everyone you don't have to be a square to be a minister.
Exactly.
You can have fun. You can
you can cuss.
You can cuss. You can do goofy stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You can joke about peeing on a computer.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Fine.
Yeah, peeing was what I was implying.
That's what I was implying.
Well, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Yes. And it's special for that reason, you know, down here for Jeff's ordination.
If any of you out there want to get married to each other.
It's true. Reach out. I'll marry you.
Give them your phone number.
Jeff is going to be one of
your address
ordained folks who will not turn you away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's going through the traditional process. Mm-hmm. He's not going on the World Wide Web.
No. You can.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certain people who just want to be ordained to...
For their friend's wedding.
For their friend's wedding, and that's totally fine. I'm getting ordained because I actually, for anyone who does not know, I am a minister and a pastor of a house church.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm doing that. I also was requested to do two weddings this next year, with friends and family. So I had to get official.
Mm-hmm.
May as well get the minister card.
Yes, yes.
Get a little business card.
Yes, and we're proud of you because we've been with you
From
the start. And this is special too because with everything, all things considered, 2024 is going to mark 20 years since Jeff and I became friends.
Yep. Yep.
And then next year will be since you and Jeff became friends, because you didn't know I was a twin when we first met in middle school. And then you and I met through gym class.
Yeah.
And met
funny story for anyone who hasn't heard it. I don't know if I've said this on any of the podcasts.
Yeah.
So me and Steven were friends in seventh grade gym class. That's where we met. Mm-hmm. He gave me cheat codes to a Rocky video game.
Mm-hmm.
So we were friends.
Hence why you're dressed like Rocky
now. This all makes sense.
Yep.
So we were friends in seventh grade, and then seventh grade came and went. Eighth grade happened, and I was in gym class, and I saw Matt across the gym.
Mm.
I didn't realize Steven had a brother at all, let alone a twin.
You didn't say anything?
No, I didn't say anything.
I waved at Matt, and I couldn't. I don't know if you even saw me waving at you.
I probably didn't. I mean, I knew who you were.
I was pretty aloof.
Because unlike me, Steven talked about you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I figured, I was like, oh, Steven didn't wave back at me. He must not see me. Whatever. And in eighth grade.
I also had tattoos then.
Yes. In eighth grade, our gym was at one end of the school, and then our wood shop class, which I had the next period, was literally on the other end of the school. So I had to book it from the gym to wood shop. And I was like out of breath because I rushed all the way down there. And I see Steven in that class sitting down. And I very confused. I was like, how did you get here so quickly?
I think I walked. Is that what you wanted to hear?
Well, it's funny because I was excited to see Jeff because we weren't on in middle school. Our middle school was separated into teams.
Yeah.
So like we were on different teams and we only saw each other like if we had gym class and health class and we all throughout seventh grade together. Yeah. So I was excited to see you
because you didn't know who was gonna be in your like your elective classes and stuff.
And then Jeff was like, how did you get here so fast? I was like, hello to you too.
Because I thought we had already seen each other last period.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep.
And then I explained how we both just came from gym class and Steven corrected me and said, that must have been my twin brother. To which I don't think I believed you at first.
I was going to say, you probably called bullshit because obviously that's like a lot of people's excuse. Like, oh, that's my twin. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
It's like, no, really, I have a twin brother.
Yeah. And I was excited. You and I got so like super close because, of course, the Rocky video game, that was a big thing. And I was just like, you know, this is a cool guy. You know, it's, you know, it being in a new school, new environment, newly christened teenager. It's, you know, it's kind of amplified like anxiety.
And then you get into a new hobby / interest. Like we did like pro wrestling.
Yeah. That's totally like because I was like, you know, I wanted to make, you know, friends, of course, especially in a new class. And I was like, oh, it was you and like maybe four other guys that like, you were friends with from Parker Road that were in the class. And, you know, we all like yucked it up and had fun. And then like a month or so later, Matt and I find this new horizon, this new interest, this new thing, pro wrestling that we're into.
Easy to say at the time, it was an obsession.
It was.
Yeah.
And it was also rare to find anybody who was like into it, and we wanted to do was talk about it, and somehow you and I happened to put, because like I think a SmackDown taping was in St. Louis, and I think we were in like the lecture room. It was like an all-purpose room, and we were in there for something for Jim, and you had mentioned at the time how you went to the SmackDown taping.
I was a liar.
Which later in life you're like, I didn't go, because your first event that you went to was the Royal Rumble 2012, and we all went, and I was like, I thought you went to that SmackDown. You're like, I lied. And I was like,
no,
well,
I didn't.
And I wanted to be liked very badly in middle school.
Although your sweet little lie opened up sweet little liar.
This entire friendship's based around a lie.
Yep. See, I've been telling you this whole time. You know, you're just like, oh, P. Shaw. I'm like, no, you. It's been based on a lie.
Well, at least he did end up actually liking wrestling.
Yeah.
He didn't just like look in the paper and be like, that's the thing that happened
right
last night.
SmackDown.
Yes, I went to that event. I went to the SlapDown event.
I went to the oiled up slap fights.
I went to SmackAss last night.
I would go to all of those too, though.
But that's how I found out you were a wrestling fan. At least I think that's how I found out. And then from then on until, you know, until you started going to church with us in high school, you were my wrestling buddy.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I remember telling you that Jackie Gata touched my shoulder or something.
There, maybe.
I don't know. That sounds like something I would have done.
Yeah, I believe you. But all of this, like all of everything aside, it's almost like a full circle thing in a way here, because we still love wrestling, still watch it, still talk about it all the time. We'll
drive down to Decatur just to like watch WrestleMania and stuff like that.
And you know, still all these years later, you know, still strong friendship, and you know, we love you and happy you're on.
Yep.
I'm happy to be here.
Happy
I'm
here to
happy
celebrate
to hear
you.
Your answer to these questions.
Yes, to Me the too. Six mix. On and upward to the six mix. For those of you, if this is your first time hearing about the six mix, it was inspired by the Brett Goldstein podcast, Films to Be Buried With, which is all questions that are movie-centric.
Yeah.
Matt and I loved that idea so much. We lifted a couple movie questions, but all the other questions are pop culture related.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've done five of these so far.
Yes.
So I'm the sixth.
Six mix.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's fine. Six. There's 66 books in the Bible. Tie it all back.
It's true.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Just don't Don't add another one.
Just
don't,
saying.
Don't add, whoever's out there, don't add another book to the Bible. But saying. Jeff is here for our sixth mix, and we are excited. For those of you who have listened to those and heard our excitement and at the top of the show, it's because the conversation, we talk about favorites that are answering the questions, but it goes in different directions, which we love. Yeah. And we're excited to get going. Jeff, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Jeff is ready. Yes, I'm ready.
I'm sorry. I was too far away from
you. Gentlemen, start your engines. So, Jeff, the very first question is, the first movie you remember seeing in the theater?
Toy Story.
Toy Story. Nice.
That was ours, too. No. Was ours?
Well, I've said The Lion King, because there were flashes of remembering things, but Toy Story has a little more substantial of a memory.
That's funny. I remember watching Lion King on VHS at home. That's the first movie I remember watching.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I watched Toy Story, and I remember it distinctly because there was like a stand cutout thing for Muppet Treasure Island.
Nice.
And I really wanted to go see that instead.
Yeah.
But my mom had already bought the tickets, so we went and saw Toy Story. And I wasn't upset about it.
Oh, yeah. So with that, where was your guys' movie theater? Because we've talked numerous times about Jamestown Mall, and I know we'll mention it later in the question.
I don't know. I don't think we saw Toy Story at Jamestown, because we went and we saw it with my older brother was on a baseball team at the time, and a teammate of his, our moms like became friends. Mm. So I think we went somewhere closer to Ferguson to see that. No idea what theater it was.
Yeah.
But my main theater growing up was Jamestown, and then it transitioned to the St. Louis Mills.
Mm. Was going... For you growing up, was going to the movies like a special treat kind of thing? Or is it like fairly often? Because I know we had a big family, so that was kind of a special treat.
I wouldn't... Somewhere in the middle. It wasn't like a rare occasion. Right. But it wasn't necessarily a regular thing. Mm. It was kind of in the middle, because I know... I would see movies a lot with like friends for sleepovers.
Yeah.
My mom would give me money for that. And then occasionally we would go see a movie like me, my mom and my brother. Mm-hmm. I know a couple times, like they would drop us off to go see a movie during Christmas time so they could do Christmas shopping at the mall.
Okay.
Which I didn't realize until I was older. I was like, that's a very smart plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. 'Cause you're guaranteed your kids are supposed to be in one spot for probably an hour and a half. You can go around, get your shopping
done. Oh, yeah. Did your dad go to... I know your dad... Jeff's dad was a truck driver. Did your dad join you for any movies? Or do you remember any memories with your dad seeing a movie?
The only movie I remember seeing with my dad, it was my mom and my dad both, it was Signs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why we chose that as like a little family outing, but... We saw Signs.
All right.
And
that scare you?
Yeah,
it scared me. I think it's because there's the line in there where it's like, swing away. And Danny's like, I play baseball.
Danny didn't go with us. It was just me, my mom, and my dad.
He was in trouble.
Probably.
He was grounded.
But yeah, that's the only movie I remember seeing with my dad in a theater. Huh,
yeah. Interesting. That's, you mentioned how you would see, the things I love about this is I have so many supplemental questions, questions after the fact.
Yeah.
So like when you mention, because it's based upon people's answers. So when you mention seeing movies around Christmas time so your parents could go shopping, do you remember like did you see like The Grinch in the theater?
Elf.
We saw Grinch.
Grinch. Oh, nice.
We saw Grinch. Another thing of we went in there.
Muppet Jamestown. Treasure Island.
Yeah. I was trying to beg my parents to let me see Emperor's New Groove.
Great movie.
I think looking back on it, my parents probably said no because my dad probably knew how long The Grinch was. So he could plan for it. And he didn't know how long Emperor's New Groove was.
Right.
So he's like, I don't know how long to plan to do shopping. So no.
Yeah, that's smart because like in the paper they used to, at least as far as I can remember, they used to print how the runtime for the movies. Yeah. So I'm sure your dad, who is an avid paper reader, looked it up and was like, they're going to go see this. If we're going to spend 2 hours, they're going to go see this.
Yeah.
So that's great. Toy Story, especially people closer to our age, Toy Story seems to be one that if they did, that wasn't the first one they saw, they definitely saw it. Or it's just, it's a staple of our generation and childhood.
I did also see Good Burger in theaters.
Ooh, nice.
That's awesome.
That movie is so goofy. It's so silly.
I remember, because it was still when I was pretty young, obviously, I spent a summer with my brother, with my aunt and uncle in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And we saw Good Burger, and my only other movie experience was Toy Story. So I was like, this is different.
Yeah. These are real people.
Yeah.
I didn't know they made movies with real people.
Exactly.
I just thought it was cartoons and Muppets.
So going to the theater was like, it can be like an experience in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Like just given, you're not just there and just getting this movie and you're in, you know, surrounded by this loud audio and stuff like that, and you're experiencing it with all these other people. There's also the snacks. Like, did you guys get snacks? Did you?
Of course.
Did you made it a special outing?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. I think if you go to the movies and you don't get like
something,
then you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
It's part of the experience.
Obviously, popcorn.
Yeah.
One of my friends growing up, Tyler. We were at the concession stand and we were going through the line. I got popcorn just because I was like, well, I don't know what else you get.
I'm at the movie.
You got to pay for that.
But Tyler, he said snow caps. And that's the first time I had ever even heard of a snow cap.
Yeah.
So when I was 10 years old.
That's what the Gen Z says is snow cap. Yeah.
Oh,
anyway, go ahead.
Our Gen Zers will understand that.
But yeah, 10 years old, got put on to snow caps. It's one of my favorite movie snacks now.
I'm a traditionalist. I just got to go popcorn and
soda. Oh, I love popcorn too.
Popcorn and soda. Popcorn and a soda.
If it's like a fun movie that like...
A popcorn movie, if you will.
A popcorn movie, ironically, I will get snow caps in addition to popcorn.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Just something to snack on. But if it's like a movie I kind of want to focus on, for some reason, just mindlessly shoveling popcorn in my mouth while I focus on a movie helps me focus on it. Yeah. I don't know why.
It's giving your brain another activity to, I don't know.
Sounds good.
I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. But moving on, there's nicotine in popcorn.
Oh!
It helps you focus.
That's why I like it so much.
Yes.
Yes.
Highly addictive chemical.
Yes, but moving on from a theater experience to something that was probably more akin to an at-home experience, unless you saw your answer in the theater and felt the same way. But movies that make you cry, and if not cry, get emotional.
Mm. Can I also say a TV show or two?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we'll allow it. Yeah,
I mean, stereotypical Good Will Hunting makes me cry or tear up. Forrest Gump makes me emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I really tried to think on this question ahead of time, and it was hard for me to think of movies that made me feel that way. But TV shows.
I think that's interesting because maybe it depends on the person. Because Jake was the same way. He had a couple answers for movies, but he was more towards TV shows.
I really like long form stories.
I think that's what it is. Because a movie, like, it has like a Good Will Hunting or Forrest Gump, which is good at building those emotional moments depending on the characters that they're using. But a TV show, you have the benefit of
a longer build.
A movie has to have really good writing to get you emotionally invested in a character in like 90 minutes to 2 hours. But a TV show, my answer is going to go in along with this explanation. I really like the long form storytelling because instead of 2 hours, you have 10 hours, 20 hours, depending on how long the show goes. You have so many hours to build this character up and see the full fleshed out character arc of these people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it lends itself to being more impactful for me.
Sure.
TV show that I cry cry and just get emotional at multiple times throughout the show is Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. Of course. Big time.
Of course.
Ted Lasso. Like, I won't do any spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it for whatever reason, but you should go see it if you haven't already. Get Apple TV just for that.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's worth the price. It's like $5 a month or something,
right? They bumped it up a little bit recently, but it's still worth it. It's very worth it. There are also a lot of other very good shows on it and movies. But Ted Lasso, there's just so many characters in it that you see them in like maybe the first couple episodes and you're like, oh, they're just going to be a stereotypical like cliche TV character. And it's like, no, almost every character is fleshed out.
Yeah.
And there's one character who has this character arc from season one. He goes from being kind of a nobody. Season two, he gains more prominence.
Yeah.
At the end of season two, there's a big twist betrayal in his character story, and then in season three you see him kind of redeem himself, and there's a moment in one of the last episodes where this character interacts with Ted in the locker room, and I got so emotional during it. I was like blubbering, and it's funny because Katie was, we watched that show together, we loved it. But my wife, who is more in touch with her emotions and compassionate about things than me usually, she had to pause the show and say, "Are you okay?" Because I was getting so emotional about it. And there are other moments in the show with other characters that it just makes me feel so deeply.
There's something in every single episode. Like at almost every episode, there's something to where you're just like, oh no. You're like, oh man.
Yeah. Cause they make a point, and we've mentioned before on here, we've talked about Ted Lasso in detail in some of these episodes, but they make a point, the showrunners, Jason Sudeikis, to say, this is about dealing with mental health, and especially in sports, and you mentioned how some of the characters you see in the first couple episodes, and you think they're just going to be side characters to help benefit, you know, your
one dimensional,
your Rebecca's, your Ted's, your Keely's, your Roy, and everybody gets something that can be connected. I mean, a lot of you know, of course, you can't give every single player on Richmond like fully fleshed out story, but they have some character defining thing.
Yeah.
So like everybody has something that the audience can relate to in some way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And in that moment too, like I was the same way, just because it shows Ted as a person, even when he's been seriously wronged. We saw it in season one with Rebecca and Ted. We've seen it. We saw it numerous times how people have wronged Ted, and he's wronged other people, but he has so much forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I think the most powerful thing in that moment that you're talking about at the end is the forgiveness he has for that character. And during that whole season, it was beneath him to decry or to defame that character, although that character was under the he was making his own choices, but he also was being influenced by a more evil character, I guess, to essentially like talk shit on Ted, but Ted wasn't turning around and doing it himself. He's like, you know, this guy, he was such a big part of our team, and I know he's going to be successful wherever he's at.
Just the constant optimism, which it came out at a time in which we needed that.
Yes.
Like it came out during the pandemic, and there are people who would probably think it's too, would saccharine be the right word for it? Just like overly sentimental.
Yeah, sappy.
And sappy. And like,
who cares?
Right. It came out at a time to where we needed something like that. I personally started watching it at a time where I needed something like that.
Yeah.
Like there people who want like realism and all that stuff, and it's like really, it's a really optimistic show, and there's conflict, but it's not like, it doesn't ruin people's lives and stuff like
that. What I enjoyed the most about Ted Lasso is how it just took my expectations of what to expect out of a show and just flipped them.
Yeah.
Because there is conflict and there is tension. Mm-hmm. But instead of like how I think most TV shows would drag out the tension across multiple episodes, multiple seasons, you know, there's tensions with between Ted and other characters, and it's almost immediately squashed.
And I like that.
Through communication. Through communication,
through two adults talking about something and explaining their feelings and discussing why they did what they did, what they're feeling, and just squashing it. And in the final season, it didn't make me necessarily emotional, but talking about this kind of thing, there's a tension between Roy and another character to where it felt like it was going to dive into stereotypical tension in a show because it was about a female character.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, they're ruining this on the last episode. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is going to suck. And then, nope, they continued through with their track record and it was squashed in a way that I didn't expect. And I was like, this is great.
In a very mature way, not in a like a lazy kind of let's just do this kind of way. And I personally, especially because that's been a trope, poor communication has been, at least in sitcoms, like a comedic device.
Yeah.
Like it's very much like, this problem could have been handled XYZ. Yeah. And it's like, but then you don't have an episode or you don't have a show or
you
whatever.
Don't,
like,
you don't have a funny moment.
Yeah. And I get it, but at the same time, it makes me anxious because I'm just like, this could have been solved this way. This could have been solved this way. And especially with characters that I like, I don't like when stuff's just dragged out because it puts me on edge. I'm like, just make up already kind of thing. And I like that. There's certain things in that show that you could sense a conflict and you're like, oh man, how long is this person going to be mad at this person? How long is this? And it's by the end of the episode. Again, it's not just by laziness. We want to tie this up. It's from a mature, like communication and stuff like that's how the problem is solved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before we move on to the next question, just real quick back to movies. With Forrest Gump, I feel like, of course, people listening and people out there are very familiar with Good Will Hunting, but I feel like Forrest Gump, they may be a little more familiar with or have seen or they haven't seen Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
So with Forrest Gump, I know the parts that could make anybody emotional, but with Good Will Hunting, what parts are the most emotional to you?
So there's a scene where Robin Williams' character is talking to Matt Damon's character on a park bench.
Mm.
And it's essentially a monologue.
Yeah.
Matt Damon's character responds a couple times, but it's a monologue where Robin Williams just explains how Will is this genius and he's so smart and he's so incredibly gifted and he thinks he knows everything, but he's never lived life. He doesn't know the experience of life because he's never been out of Boston and he's never, you know, experienced love and loss and things like that. And I remember watching that in high school for the first time and I was in an intro to acting class and that scene alone hit me so emotionally that, also, for anyone who doesn't know, I lost my mother when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So anything that dealt with like loss or grief or anything like that really resonated with me, especially then. Mm-hmm. So I was in an intro to acting class and our final was to do a monologue and no shade being thrown at my acting teacher. Right. She was teaching people who I think took intro to acting as
a credit,
just as an elective that they thought maybe they wouldn't have to, you know, study or do whatever.
Meet chicks.
Maybe. Yeah. But most of the monologues she gave out were, I don't know, 5-10 sentences, a paragraph or something.
Yeah.
And very simple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me my monologue and I was like, can I pick a different one? And she was like, it depends on what you want to do. So I typed up the entire Robin Williams pledge monologue. Allegiance. Yes. I pledge allegiance to the flag.
That's uninterrupted.
of America.
It's uninterrupted. And if you interrupt me, you're going to hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Blah, 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 amen.
But I typed up the entire, all the lines from Robin Williams in that scene, and I presented it to her. And keep in mind, for acting, intro to acting, it was supposed to be a full year course.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did. I think I just wanted to be in the acting class, and I had a spot to fill in my schedule. So I requested to be put into second semester intro to acting. So the acting teacher at the time, she had this new student who hadn't been with her all year.
Yeah.
Requested a different monologue and then was presenting her Robin Williams's park bench scene
very
from Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, "Are you sure you can do this?" I was like, "I think so."
Yeah.
And I did it and I got a good score on it.
Nice.
And yeah, that scene has always stayed with me.
Mm-hmm.
Just cause it's such a great scene. But really, I mean, the most known scene from Goodwill Hunting is that it's not your fault scene.
Yeah.
It's when Robin Williams's character and Matt Damon are in his office and they're talking about, they're really, I think for the first time, talking about Matt Damon's
trauma
and his character's history. And, you know, Robin Williams's character just keeps repeatedly telling him it's not his fault.
And he's like, yeah, I know.
It's the first time his character has ever been told the things you experienced were not your fault. You did not cause those things to happen to you.
It's like, come on, not you too, Sean. You know, just like pushing him about it.
And it's, again, like, you know, I watched that in high school after losing my mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a very long time, I would say, I mean, well past high school, I allowed that experience to define who I was as a person.
Yeah.
I allowed that grief to kind of be my identity. So having a scene like that was something I liked to hold on to, but I didn't necessarily fully embrace.
Right.
Just having someone telling you that the pain and pain and grief that you've experienced is not your fault. Like, this is not because of you.
Yeah.
That always gets me.
Sure.
Like, it will, I could throw the scene on.
Yeah.
Cold.
Like, out of context.
Out of context. I could just watch that scene. And sometimes I do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like doing that with random scenes. I'll just pull it up on YouTube and it gets me emotional.
Yeah. I would do that with so It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
The scene to where George saying, like, God, let me, he's like, God, please let me live again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like after he's experienced what life would be like without him. And I'll put that on cold, like you were saying. And immediately I'm like, God, let me live again.
Yeah.
And then just him making this relief and the realizations. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I love my life. And like, I love, and like that will just get me too. The no man is a failure who has friends, kind of, you know, and it's like, attaboy, Clarence. And just all of it, just throw it on cold. It's like that.
It's this inexplicable feeling sometimes that our body's telling us we need to release endorphins or emotions somehow. And sometimes it's like, we can't get rid of it unless it's through, like, you're crying or getting emotional or getting choked up. You know, we have to get rid of, like, this energy through tears. So you don't have to be blubbering, but if you're tearing up a little bit, that's good too. Mm-hmm. So you just, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't mean you're sad.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean like anything bad is happening, but it's just a natural bodily response to, you know, it's okay that it's just inexplicable if you just start crying at something or if you feel like you need to release it somehow.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, I think everybody listening to has go-tos that, you know, if I just need a cry right now.
Yeah.
Son, I just feel like my body's telling me I have to release this through tears.
Yeah.
So let's get away from
let's stop being sissies.
Yeah,
let's get away from this blubbering bullshit.
So question three, let's take a trip to the mall.
Yeah.
So
let's go to the mall.
Yeah, exactly.
No one knows what you're talking about.
All right.
But question three, going to the mall, if you had your way,
where was the first store you're going to in the mall, and where do you eat in the food court? So as a kid, mm-hmm. as a teenager, I mean, now people have thrown in experiences from all kind of age ranges.
This is so funny because we're going to a mall today.
We are.
Yes, we are.
I just realized that. I get excited every time somebody says, we're going to the mall. Still.
Yeah.
So preferably, we catered this question, preferably as a kid or a teenager, yeah. but we are open to anybody's, what yeah. they want to, their experience they want to share.
So yeah. as a kid, the first store we always went to, it was my mom's choice, and I wasn't arguing against it because mm-hmm. I loved it too. Jamestown used to have a pet store
yes.
in the mall.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's like right outside JCPenney or something. Yeah.
Next
yeah.
to Walden's Books.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
I remember it was one of the last stores that had dogs in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that, regardless of what we were going to the mall for, unless we had to go to Sears and we parked like in front of Sears, yeah. if we parked near the entrance where the theater was,
yeah.
we would always go to the pet store first. It was always our first stop.
Mm, yeah.
We knew we weren't getting a dog or anything, but we just liked to see the dogs.
Of course.
Usually that, and then if I could choose, it would probably be like KB Toys.
Mm, yeah.
Would have been my first choice yep. before the pet store,
mm-hmm.
but the pet store's in there too.
Yeah.
As a teenager, when we were going to the Mills, I feel like Slackers was
always the first place. Right at the entrance we would go through.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, there's like Wetzel's. We'd get like a yeah. pretzel, and that Slackers is like down the next hallway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be the first one. And then nowadays, if I find a Slacker's, probably Slacker. Yeah,
of course, yeah. V-Stock.
Yeah. V-Stock yeah. is a great choice.
What was your go-to at the Mills to eat? Because it wasn't anything special, like Sbarro's.
I mean, I wasn't picky. Both yeah. at the Mills and Jamestown, mm-hmm. Sbarro's was usually my choice. Because yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't go as a kid. You can't yeah. go wrong with a pizza.
An authentic exactly. New York slice.
My favorite New York slice.
I have been to New York City twice in my life mm-hmm. now. Both times I've said that when I saw the Sbarro yeah. sign, because I have to.
Yeah, because
get a New York slice.
A reference to The Office, yeah. second season when Michael goes to New York.
My favorite New York City pizza joint is Sbarro.
But there, I mean, Jamestown, we've also mentioned that. Was that your first exposure to like Chick-fil-A?
It was.
That was the only Chick-fil-A we had, really.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember getting it. I remember there was a power outage one summer, and it was very widespread.
I think I remember this. Yeah.
So we ended up going to Jamestown, and I got Chick-fil-A. I think it was the first time I had gotten Chick-fil-A.
Mm.
First time I had gotten waffle fries. I didn't know if I liked them, just because I was like, the texture's different than what I expect from a fry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think I got it regularly.
Right. Yeah.
It was usually Sbarro.
Yeah. When you were at Jamestown, do you remember, I think we've asked this to everybody who is of any sort of interest of comics and trading cards. Do you remember Turn 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
Course.
Yeah. And like Sam Goody and yeah. everything. Yeah.
I wish I had appreciated Sam Goody more when I was yeah. a kid, but I wasn't into music as much. And I don't know. I felt bored whenever I was in Sam Goody because mm-hmm. my brother was very into music
oh, yeah.
and he would want to go in there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it might've just been because it was my older brother who I felt like was so into music. I was like, I'm just not interested in any of this stuff.
Yeah. 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 But at the card store and the comic book store.
Yeah. Turn 2, I loved going to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Love going to Turn 2.
Of course.
Yeah, I remember going there. I remember getting Pokemon cards there mm-hmm. a few times. I remember getting a couple Ultimate Spider-Man comics
cool.
from there.
Yeah.
I don't remember going there a ton. I do remember my brother got a few like Amazing Spider-Man comics from there.
Nice.
Were you tooting?
Yes, I was.
I'm the rootinest, tootinest cowboy.
I didn't know if it was my dog or not.
No, that was me.
But I remember specifically my brother had gotten some Spider-Man comics, and it was during a run where I forget what the artist's name is, but he drew the anatomy really funky.
Yeah. John Romita Jr.
No.
I don't like his.
Rob Liefeld.
No. I'll find it. But, like, I don't know. It just looked very goofy.
Mm.
And there's a moment in it where Spider-Man is confronting Green Goblin. And they, like, beat the crap out of each other. And then they, like, both slump against the wall and they just, like, talk things out. I'm like, what is this? Even as a kid, I was like, this is not how this is supposed to go.
And Spider-Man's elbow's coming out through his neck.
I'm going to try to find the all artist.
Weird. Yeah.
Anywho,
let's talk about this.
You say they're all, like, fighting and bloody, and then they start hugging and kissing. It's like... I don't, I guess all the ranges of emotion in a relationship.
I guess so.
Yeah. I don't know. Too heady of a concept for my little pea brain.
Exactly.
This is it. I'm sorry if you ever hear this podcast, sir, but Humberto Ramos.
I hate the way he draws.
I don't like that. Yeah. I've heard the name. And then when you, as soon as you showed the picture, I was like, yep, I'm familiar.
I hate. I hate his art. It's too, like, pointy.
I mean, it's talented. Like, as, I mean,
he's
as
a professional artist. I'm not.
But
yeah.
It's just not for me.
No, I don't like it.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, there's... It's this stuff where, like, Green Goblin is, like, playing with action figures. That's fine. He's crazy. Whatever.
Yeah.
But, like... He bumps Gwen Stacy off this thing, like the action
figure. He accidentally kills her.
Yeah. But like voodoo. Like, here's a thing where they're, like, beating the shit out of each other, and, like, their eyes are puffy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, they're giving it to
this
each other.
This is intense. Yeah.
And then they just slump on a wall and talk it out. I'm like, come on.
I feel like there's something in there you didn't have to do if this is going to be the ultimate conclusion on what you're doing.
Right.
But
okay, I guess we'll try your way.
Yeah, exactly.
I do think at the end of it, it's implied that Norman also commits suicide.
When you showed the scene of him playing with action figures, it reminded me of Dark Helmet and Spaceballs.
Yeah.
Same thing good to do to you, big boy. Big.
Yeah.
And wait. And
hi, honey.
Don't mess with my girlfriend. Hi, honey.
What'd you do to my friend? Like, same thing good to do to you, big boy.
This is one, I mean... Take the art for what it is, but this is the end of one of the issues in that little run, and it's Peter saying, "I'll kill you."
Yeah,
and then you talk it out.
And it looks like he just got slimed on Nickelodeon.
Yes,
a very intense frame that none of you are going to be able to see.
The secret slime word is "kill you."
Yeah, two words, and then he just said it, and he got slimed on "Figure It Out" by Summer Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, that's television.
Yeah,
so let's move on to a television.
Oh.
Great, you know, I always, my knee jerk is always say great answers, but there is no wrong answer,
right?
So, and they're all great because they're your experiences.
Yeah.
But great answers. Now moving on to television, something that you had used a television show for your example, for your main example of getting emotional. But, I mean, you watched a ton of TV growing up.
Yes.
Too much, actually.
Yes.
Too much.
I was what they called an indoor kid.
Yes. A latchkey kid.
Yeah.
Also true.
Yeah. But as a child.
You're an indoor cat. Meow.
Meow. Yes. As a child / teen, what was your TV routine? Any manner of things after school, during the weekend?
So, I have a distinct memory of a routine before school, after school,
perfect,
and on weekends.
Excellent.
Perfect.
Morning routine, I would always wake up, have breakfast, and while having breakfast, I would turn on WB for their morning routine,
yes,
which was usually Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then if we had enough time before I had to head to school, I would switch it over to Fox in the mornings because they had Digimon.
Yeah.
Digital Monsters. Morning.
Yeah.
So that was my before school routine for a long time. I'll also divide these up pre-cable and post-cable.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Because I did not have cable until I was 12.
True. Yes. Yes.
So preschool, not preschool, before school.
Face on Nickelodeon for
preschool. Yeah. Pre-cable,
mm-hmm,
I would do that. After school, before cable, it would usually be PBS.
Arthur, Zoom,
classics. What was it? The Wild
Wild Kratts or like Zaboomafoo.
Whatever Zaboomafoo was.
Yeah, yeah. The Kratt Brothers.
Kratt Brothers, yeah. Kratt Brothers, more like
Kratt Heads.
Goes anyway.
PBS and then usually WB, again, for Pokemon, because you could never have enough as a kid for me.
I had my fill.
That's fine. More for the rest.
That's true. I got 2 months in. I was like, this isn't for me.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So yeah, post school, after school, pre-cable. That was usually the routine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we would, you know, watch whatever as a family or whatnot.
Yeah.
My mom very much liked Friends, and I had a soft spot in my heart for Friends for a long time. Getting older, I don't care for it at all. It's not my style of humor anymore.
Yeah.
But I do remember distinctly watching that with my mom before I would go to bed and stuff.
Yeah.
After we got cable.
It all bets
changed
are off.
The game.
I was gonna
all
say, I off. Quite literally, like,
whole world
opens up. It really is the epitome of a game changer.
It truly, changed my life in terms of what I watched on TV.
There's a Cartoon Network.
Well, so my grandparents growing up, they had cable.
Yeah, you knew about Nickelodeon and all.
I don't like to speak ill of family, but I didn't really like going to my grandparents' house.
Yeah.
But they had cable. So we would go over there. I would sit in the living room for a little while. Mm-hmm. I would politely ask my mom, can I go to the TV room?
Yeah.
And she said, sure. And I would turn on Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network. But I remember distinctly the day we got cable. The cable guy was setting it up. He was flipping through the channels, and he landed on Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
And it was the Justice League cartoon.
I can see it in my head right now.
And it changed my life because I was like, this is just a whole.
This one's for you, little boy. Wink.
Cable did you? Guy.
I'll take it from here.
Get out.
He's like, yeah. And just sits down on your couch. Just want to make sure these channels all work. Right.
Get out.
I can picture just a cable.
Yeah, soda or anything I could drink.
But like I can picture a cable guy after he's done just standing there, just standing in front of the TV, just making sure everything works, and you're just sitting on the couch just anxiously waiting him to leave, and it lands on that and you're he lands on a Girls Gone Wild. He puts in
the
direct TV code. He's just staying there. He doesn't even realize you're there. He's just watching Girls Gone Wild in the middle of the day at a random house. He's installing cable.
He looks around and he's like, oh, sorry.
That's
all he says.
Oh, sorry.
So you guys got the premium stations.
Okay.
Cool.
I know where I'm coming over to the party.
Stay away, pervert.
Probably make a stupid joke like that. Oh, I'm coming to your house for the Super Bowl. And Danny's like, yeah, please do.
But I would watch... Back to the wholesome stuff.
Yes, of course.
I'd watch Justice League like a good little boy.
Yes.
But before school with Cartoon Network... I mean, it was Cartoon Network,
yeah. Of course,
for the most part,
yep.
as a kid, and after school with cable, it was, I mean, directly after school, it was Toonami. That's what opened up my eyes to like anime and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not huge into anime, but I like watching a decent one every so often.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what got me hooked on Dragon Ball Z. Gundam, a show that I think is very underrated, Yu Yu Hakusho.
I've heard of it.
Yep. He's like a ghost detective. Like he dies and he's tasked with like apprehending other ghosts that are committing crimes and stuff. And it turns into kind of like a Dragon Ball Z type thing.
Yeah.
Although I think it technically was created before. I don't know.
Sounds like the plot to Ghost Dad with Bill Cosby. It's not.
pretty close.
Pretty close.
But, you know, Toonami, I mean, it was just hands down what I watched directly after school.
Mm-hmm.
And then it transitioned into regular Cartoon Network stuff like Dexter.
Yeah. Johnny Bravo.
Powerpuff Girls. Samurai Jack. I felt like I shouldn't have liked Powerpuff Girls as a kid
because
I was a boy.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a Cartoon Network game online. Yes.
Yeah. So their website was awesome.
Their website was incredible. Mm-hmm. My dad said it gave our computer viruses.
Yeah, well.
But there was a game, Powerpuff Girls versus the Rowdy Rough Boys.
Yeah,
I remember. I thought I could pick to be the Rowdy Rough Boys.
You're a Rowdy Rough Boy.
Yeah. So the Powerpuff Girls kept getting beat. And I was like, yeah, I'm so good at this game. And then
I don't have to do anything.
Danny played it, and he's like, you're playing as the Powerpuff Girls. You're losing all these times. I was like, I don't like this game anymore.
Yeah. But Powerpuff Girls. Powerpuff Girls was great, though. I remember
it was good.
I remember going, as a kid, our older sister, Samantha, was in a Powerpuff Girls, and in turn, we were like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Going back and watching it, I was like, this is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I missed out on watching it when I was a little bit younger. But
so you were a little chauvinist.
I was a little chauvinist. but, yeah, I mean, it just, my TV watching was predominantly consumed by Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
That and whatever WWE was on.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, whatever TNA was on. Mm-hmm. My life was cartoons and wrestling for a long while.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that's what great. What
a life.
Yeah.
It makes things so much easier, you know, with all the options out there, what to watch now. I mean, even back cartoons then, what to watch. Wrestling. But it's like, hey, cartoons and wrestling and I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's great. Everything you were sharing, like, is great. And it reminds me of Proper Gentleman Podcast, our very first podcast, which all of us have been, and we're still all in contact and text each other regularly, but we've all been going back and listening to those episodes. Mm-hmm. And if you want to hear more about
pop culture podcasts, that me, Stephen, Jeff, Zach Matthews, and Jake Bielewald, who have both been on the shows, it's the very first podcast Stephen and I ever did.
And we've all been going back and listening to the episodes. If you want to hear more about our experiences, not just with Cartoon Network, but with Kids WB, Fox Kids, PBS, go listen to the Proper Gentleman Podcast.
Yeah.
We did Fox Kids, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, PBS, Kids WB, all in season one, and then PBS at the end of season two. And it's we had a blast.
Yep.
So hearing all of that reminds me of the stories we would tell on those episodes. But thank you for your stories.
Yeah, well, thank
you for your stories.
But before on the subject of wrestling, before you got cable, I'm guessing SmackDown on UPN was your show.
No.
Really? How'd you watch Raw? Because it was on was it on TNN? It was on USA.
It was in TNN from like starting 2001.
And then
we just didn't watch wrestling, I think. We would get tapes or something from Blockbuster. Like Blockbuster,
yeah.
Or Family, not Family Video, Hollywood Video.
Hollywood Video.
We would rent tapes usually to keep as up to date as we could.
Right.
Ah, gotcha. That would be a pretty good idea for like in the next round of Six Mix questions, whenever we have returning guests.
Your video
like,
rental store.
Where'd you go to rent videos? Mm. Like, where is it? Because ours was, because Steven and I lived in one house and our family lived in another. No,
we were just too rowdy.
No, our family lived in like one house for like the first 10 years of Steven and my life.
Yeah.
And then we moved to a house in a different school district. And so that changed because then the first 10 years it was Blockbuster. And then
Schnucks Video.
Mm-hmm. And then I would probably say Dierbergs Video more than Blockbuster.
I would say so. Although we were literally right down the street from a Blockbuster.
It's true.
But Dierbergs Video.
But it's like you go to the store with cheaper. Your mom. And,
So you're already there. The rentals might have been cheaper.
Yeah. But then when we moved to that one house that our parents are still at right now, Hollywood Video was closer.
Primarily.
And it's not around anymore.
Yeah, it was Hollywood Video. It just became Hollywood Video. We didn't rent.
Yeah.
I think maybe one or two more times we rented from Dierbergs Video. I remember the Three Stooges tape we rented in junior high.
There was a Blockbuster by that on New Hall's
Clock
Ferry.
Clock Tower,
The Clock Tower by the Pasta House.
Yeah.
And that was it the Kmart over there?
There was a Kmart over there.
Yeah.
By SLCC.
Which
is where we rented Showdown Legends of Wrestling.
Yeah.
Which started our obsession.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you for your answers.
You're welcome.
You had mentioned on your mall question, as a when you were younger, you weren't as into music. Mm-hmm. But as you've gotten older, you've definitely gotten mm-hmm. more into music. Yeah. So through the years, question five, through the years, what songs have stuck with you? Like the meaning has changed over the years, or it brings you the same joy, or back to emotions, elicit yeah. any emotions.
Mm.
And it can be albums too.
Yeah. So for me, I would definitely have to say Artist in the Ambulance.
Mm, Thrice.
From Thrice.
The album or the song or both?
The song more so. Yeah. I like the album, but the song yeah. more so. Yeah. Like Grenades by Incubus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you repost Dig.
I love that album start mm-hmm. to finish. Funnily enough, I bought the album from Target because Piccolo from Dragon Ball Z has a move called Light Grenade.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know why as a kid I thought there was any kind of connection
You're
to
simple.
It.
You're simple.
But
simple
I grabbed boy. It and it was a happy accident because I love that album.
Great album. I can't hear songs off that album without thinking about your first truck. And that was one of the CDs you had going in your truck.
Yep.
And you and I, and we would go to like, there was one specific time that I remember in college, we would always go to Wendy's or yep. always go to Jack in the Box and get comic
every not, Wednesday.
Yeah. Every Wednesday, comic books and Wendy's or Jack in the Box or just, and hanging out in an evening, we'd mm-hmm. go to one of those places. Yeah. And one of the times when you first got your truck, before you got your license to drive your truck, you would,
you drove illegally.
I was a bad boy.
Yeah, I'm a bad little boy.
I'm a good boy now. I'm getting ordained tomorrow.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
But Light Grenades is one of the CDs you had in there. So whenever I hear songs from that, I think of driving a Wendy's in your illegally driven red truck.
I drove it pretty
What
good.
Else was
you
he supposed
did.
To
no,
do?
No, you did. The thing is, you weren't supposed to, but you drove, you got experience
I
in
had
driving
to teach
it.
Myself yeah. how to drive a stick mm-hmm. shift because my dad was an over-the-road truck driver.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't there.
He wasn't there, and I love you, Dad. I miss you, Dad. Mm-hmm. But you were a stressful teacher on how to drive stick.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
It was easier to teach myself
and
stall out without someone getting mad that I was stalling out.
Yeah.
But you did stall out on the highway that one time.
I didn't stall out. My engine overheated.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
While I was driving illegally.
Yeah. And then a lot of memories with that truck.
Yeah. And then one of your brothers drove by and told your dad the truck's not in the driveway.
Yeah, I got in trouble for that.
not sorry to bring up bad memories.
You're fine. Yeah. It caused me to fix my truck because a belt had snapped on it, which caused it to overheat. I was able to fix it myself. Then after I got it fixed, police, please don't listen to this.
this was like a long
this
time.
Was also, this was over a decade ago.
Yeah.
After my car was fixed, I drove myself to the driving test facility, drove it.
They're like, where's it?
They asked, where's your dad at? And I was like, oh, he's across the street at the Jack in the Box. And they're like, oh, okay. And then I passed my test and then I just drove off. We always joke that the person who took my test, like, saw me out the window. I was like, hey, get your dad. I forgot your dad. But, I mean, I drove straight from there to the DMV to get my license.
Of course.
You got to do what you got to do, especially at that time.
Yeah. As you're driving, you look behind you. It's a fleet of police cars.
Oh, no.
You see a cliff.
Oh, no, the road is out.
See a cliff. And you're just, with your gear shift, you do the Thelma and Louise. just to go to the DMV to get your license. Pull into the Old Town Donuts parking lot, get out, and put your hands up. I'm sorry.
I'm sick in the head. I'm sorry.
You start infantilizing yourself.
I'm a bad little boy. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Wham, wham. Start sucking your thumb. I'm sick in the head. I'm sorry. So Artist in the Ambulance and Light Grenades.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
I'm sorry. I'm sick in the head.
So... Was there anything else?
No.
Okay. I can't think of anything else. Great. Those are Great
choices.
Great choices. The last question of the six. Favorite piece of media right now?
So I don't know if this is the right way to answer this, but it's how I'm going to answer it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Anything Dungeons and Dragons related. Mm,
yeah.
There's a very popular video game right now called Baldur's Gate 3, which I have, and I have... I've had it since it's been available on Xbox, which I want to say is like December 12th, middle of December. I have over 250 hours in it.
Oh, wow.
It's great. It, like I said, this goes in line with like long form storytelling for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, we've all been involved with D&D.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I've DM'd for both of you. And I just like the long form.
Yes, Dungeon Master.
Yes, Dungeon Daddy. I like long form storytelling.
Yeah.
I like being creative with, because everything I've done for you guys, for Kate, Katie has played under a group for me, our friend Jeremy, you know, multiple other friends in St. Louis, friends here in Decatur now. Yeah. We just recently wrapped up like a 2.5 year campaign.
Oh, man.
Wow.
It's everything I do is from me. I don't take anything pre-written from D&D and go like buy a module. I'll sometimes pull pieces that I like from certain things, but everything I do is from myself. But I mean, just the official stuff from Dungeons and Dragon is incredible. Like there are, I've just recently started trying to find novels from, it's called the Forgotten Realms setting in Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. It's like the most popular area in D&D. I mean, there's over 300 books written in this setting.
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate 3 is in this setting, and it's a game that, so I might change my answer from D&D strictly to Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah,
but it's because of D&D.
Yeah.
Like I said, over 250 hours I've sunk into this game, and there's still new things I'm finding. Because of the complexity of the choices you can make and the interactions you can take in this game, I don't know if it's accurate, but the developers have said there are... there's a possibility of 17,000 different endings you can have in the game just from little details changing from how you do. And you can approach situations like you would in a D&D game completely differently than how you would expect to in a video game. You can, this character has an explosive barrel that they'll basically explode. There's an explosive barrel that a character will try to basically sacrifice themselves with to take out all of your characters. You can turn invisible and steal it, and then with another character approacher. And they have, the developers have just thought out every possibility you can take with your choices, because they've programmed in this character responding to that barrel not being there. Certain choices you make in the beginning of the game are impactful towards the end of the game. Like if you kill a certain character, if you, you know, help them, if you just send them on their way, that can come back to play in the third act. I mean, there's just so many examples I could give of things you can do in the game. You can kill a character in the beginning of the game who, if you only knock her out, she becomes a recruitable character in the middle of the game towards the end.
Yeah.
And that's not something you would instinctively know was a possibility, because it's a villain. Like it's someone you're supposed to kill. But if you happen to knock her out, which you can choose to do, she appears in the middle of the game. And it's just new things are being found by people all over the internet in this game. And I mean, collectively, there's over 1 million hours played in this game across all players.
Unbelievable.
And it's only growing. You know, at the Game Awards, it swept almost all the major awards.
Jeez.
won Game of the Year, much to the decry of a lot of people, for Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. Right. Which I haven't played yet. Don't say anything.
I haven't played it either.
Okay, then PS5. Shut up.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's very a PS5. Sorry. He's an very Xbox. Sorry.
I'm an Xbox boy.
You're supposed to forgive me. I said I was sorry.
I do forgive.
Good.
Don't forget.
But don't forget.
But no. I mean, Baldur's Gate 3 is just absolutely my favorite piece of media right now. Katie always jokes because I have a very addictive personality. Sure. Yeah. I get addicted to things that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So usually when I find a game that I really like, I sink myself into it.
Right.
Katie comes up with funny names for my games. Uh-huh. Before this game, it was a game Elden Ring. She called it Onion Ring.
Of course.
Baldur's Gate is now Booty Gate.
Well, yeah.
You don't play Booty Gate.
So I will sometimes be like, I'm going to go up to my office and play video games. And she's like, you going to play that Booty Gate?
Play that Booty
yes.
Gate.
Yes.
And I would say yes. Yes, I am. Baldur's Gate, Balding's hands down.
Gate. That, yep.
Baldur's Gate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite piece of media right now.
Awesome. I've heard, I mean, you were just talking about how it was something you wanted to check out, Matt, like Baldur's Gate, that and Ghost of
Tsushima, yeah. Not Baldur's Gate. I was talking about, there's a video of Frank Reynolds from It's Always Sunny edited into Baldur's Gate.
Oh, okay. Baldur's Gate 3 is, because there are three other games in the series. Mm-hmm. I've heard they're not as fun because they're older editions of D&D that they use the mechanics for. But Baldur's Gate 3 is the closest you can get to playing D&D.
That's awesome.
In a video game.
That's awesome. Cool.
That's cool. Just like this whole episode was cool.
They showed genitalia in it.
You've just sold a million
Take
more copies.
Yeah,
it's funny when you create your character. They
how
have
big
a
do your penis.
The, well, they have a genitalia option, and when I like just for a laugh, I was flipping through the options, and it wasn't showing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, "What is this doing?" And then the option right under it is hide clothes, and I did that. And I'm the physics engine in this game.
See how floppy is
because it? You can turn your character around and just whoop, whoop, whoop,
whoop. And this is rated E, correct?
Correct,
E for everyone. So that's a nice little curveball in the game. Curveballs.
You
the
can't
game.
Curve
yeah.
it. In
yeah,
the
yeah
game.
No curve. Is there no a curved balls. Penis option?
No.
Yeah. Ah, darn it. It's not true to life.
No, nope.
I'm kidding. But thank you, Jeff, of course. I mean, not just with the six mix, but just thank you for always joining us.
Of course. Yeah.
Thank you for always being a collaborator, whether it's with Proper Gentleman Podcast or with anything else. Jeff does all of our art.
Yep.
So Jeff is Jeff Wright Designs. You said you're going to be transitioning over to Redbubble.
Yes. We'll make the, I'll make the announcement if you want. Put the pressure on me to get it up there.
Okay.
If you're comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Proper Gentleman, or not proper, oops.
Oopsies.
Radcast merchandise will be available soon on Redbubble.
Which we are super excited about. A little bit ago, we gave Jeff a few ideas of what we wanted to be merchandised. I'm sure we'll give you more, like, I don't know, pull quotes from episodes I'll come up with a six mix logo and like
we've got our outro.
Yeah. Our sister Samantha would love to have a bumper sticker of that, there's so much. The sky is essentially the limit, correct?
Yeah.
Like, because you can take your design and put it on
anything.
So t-shirts, notebooks, posters, like whatever you'd like to do. All the proceeds are going to go to Jeff.
Yep.
So we appreciate it. Always appreciate it. And even if you didn't do any of that stuff for us, we love and appreciate you anyway.
Well, I love and appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
So thank you all for listening. And I would actually kick myself if I didn't mention, you mentioned like way at the beginning, our first connection was the Rocky video game. And the day before we recording this, Carl Weathers passed away. The immortal Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
Except he got killed by Ivan Drago, so not immortal. But the iconic Apollo Creed, Carl Weathers. I mean, he played it from so many accounts, was just a good man, a loving father, a great person to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And He was Dylan and Predator. He was Chubbs and Happy Gilmore. Action Jackson. He even played himself in Arrested Development. He just had a great turn where he's getting a new fan base as Greef Karga.
As he was great in Mandalorian.
Just somebody, if you've listened to the show or followed either one of us on social media, you know every now and then we'll reference Carl Weathers because he is one of the epitomes of cool, one of my go-tos. Just somebody that we really would have loved to have met just because the character of Apollo Creed being in the Rocky movies has resonated so much with us throughout our childhoods, throughout our lives. And it was really, really sad to see.
His memory will always live with me, though, because at least until this person leaves my job, because I have a coworker named Dylan. And I, for those who don't know, I'm a loan processor in my 9-to-5 during the week, and Dylan's a lender. So whenever I see some of his stuff come through in my head, I always go, Dylan, you son of a bitch. Without fail, when his stuff pops up, that goes through my head. Mm-hmm.
Yep. But just rest in peace, Carl Weathers. Yep. Again, big loss to Hollywood. So many classic roles for a lot of people of our generation, of older generations. And it just was a really, really sad loss. I think the only loss that would have been bigger is if Sylvester Stallone himself, in regards to Rocky, Sylvester Stallone himself passed away. The next biggest after that would Carl Weathers, and unfortunately he's passed away.
Milo Ventimiglia
from Rocky Balboa. You mentioned Talia Shire, that would be big too. But
Burt Young passed away.
But Tony Duke and Apollo Creed are
reunited.
Tony Duke, who was his trainer for so long, but rest in peace Carl Weathers, rest in power Carl Weathers. And thank you all for listening as always to the Six Mix, to the Radcast. You have our utmost gratitude for your patience in this time. We had that little hiccup. Let's hope that Matt and I can continue on with this momentum. We're excited. The next couple episodes will be us tackling 1981 and 1982, because 1980 has done so well so far. We had a blast with our mom on that. But let's just finish this one out. Until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.